You know, I've read the story many, many times. But this year, as I prepared for this evening, two particular things stood out to me that I'm not sure I ever really totally thought about before. One was this moment of extreme weakness for Jesus. I mean, here's Jesus. He comes to the garden, and he is scared. He's expressing his concern, his sorrow. He wants his friends to be with him because he doesn't want to be alone in this moment. And he's upset at them when they are so exhausted from the week that they've had, from the day of Passover that they've had. But you know, if you go back and you look at other martyr stories, other Jewish martyr stories, other Christian martyr stories, even martyr stories in the Bible, you don't get any of this fear. You don't get Stephen like that. Stephen, who is stoned in the book of Acts, proclaims the gospel until he's knocked out by the stones. Why is it that Jesus has this sorrow and this doubt in this evening when other Christians and followers of Jesus do not? It's strange. The other part that I had never really thought about was all this stuff about the cup. Jesus keeps saying, you know, I don't want to drink of this cup. Lord, if there's any way you can take away this cup, please take it away from me. And if you want to understand it more, we've got to look back a little bit in Matthew chapter 20, just a few chapters earlier. It says this, Matthew 20 verse 20. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came with him, with her sons, and kneeling before him, she asked him for something. And he said to her, what do you want? She said, say to these two sons of mine are to sit. Say that they will sit, one in your right hand and one in your left hand in your kingdom. And Jesus answered them, you do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I am to drink? They said to him, we are able. And he said to them, you will drink my cup, but to sit on my right hand and my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father. So even a couple chapters earlier, we get this discussion where the sons of Zebedee, John and James, and their mother is kind of supporting them in this, want to be at Jesus' right hand and left hand in the kingdom. But he says, can you drink the cup? Of course, they say yes. They don't know what the cup is, because most of us don't know what the cup is. I don't think they know what the cup is in the moment. But he says, you'll drink of my cup. But he's almost like he's talking about two cups. In fact, the Gospel of John takes this cup thing even further. At Jesus' arrest, it records that Jesus says, put your swords into the sheath. Shall I not drink of the cup the Father has given me? Basically, he understands that he has to drink this cup. So what is the deal with this cup? And I think if we answer the idea of the cup, we will better understand this moment of fear for Jesus. First of all, you have to understand that the cup has different symbolism in the Old Testament. Sometimes the cup can be positive. Psalm 23, we all know this, right? My cup overflows. When God blesses us, the metaphor is that our cups are full. We have all the drink that we need. We even today will sometimes say, if we affirm something, I'll drink to that, right? Or at weddings, we toast to affirm other people. The cup, even to this day, can be a positive symbol. But in the Old Testament, the cup is also a symbol of judgment. It's this understanding that you can really see this in Ezekiel 23 and Isaiah 51. The metaphor is really drunkenness. The metaphor is that when God gets angry at people who are against his people, in this case, in Ezekiel and Isaiah, those who have taken over Israel, that God will basically make them drunk. He will pour out his wrath like a cup. And so if you can imagine, you could be a really strong army, but if you're in a really drunken stupor, then anybody can take you over. Then anybody can attack you. And what God's saying is that in my wrath, I'm going to bring these people down. That's the metaphor of the cup. And so I think it's here when Jesus is talking about this cup. He's in the garden. He knows that the cross is coming tomorrow. He has been marching towards the cross, telling the disciples that he's going to die. But in this moment, he starts to feel this wrath of God that he is about to feel poured out on him for us the next day. Now let's step back for a second, because a lot of times we don't like this image of God being of a God of wrath. We like a God of love, right? Nobody likes to think about God as having wrath. But sometimes if you love someone, there is a little bit of anger, right? I would not love my kids very much if I did not get angry about things that are going to hurt them. If somebody tried to hurt my kids, I would be justifiably angry. And you know what? I'm also justifiably angry if my kids are doing something to themselves that I know when they're adults, this behavior is going to be bad. I think God shows his love for us in that he gets angry with the things that are hurting us and the things that have broken our relationship with him. But the good news is that God does not just get angry about sin and our broken relationship, but he does something about it. That is what's special. The Bible has all kinds of metaphors for this. The idea of a sacrifice, paying a ransom, paying a debt, adoption, cleansing. All these different ways to talk about how Jesus heals and saves us. So this is the cup of wrath. Cup of wrath that we are supposed to take on. But then Jesus says to John and James, you can't take this cup. And as he starts to get ready to take this cup as he goes to the cross tomorrow, he starts to realize, oh, this is going to hurt. This is going to be rough. And for him to fully be our sacrifice, he's got to fully feel that pain, including the anguish leading up to it. But the disciples cannot handle it. But as Jesus talks about the cup, notice too that he's not trying to escape. He's not trying to get out. Jesus is not trying to run. He's just saying to the Father, look, if there's any other way we could do this, that doesn't have to be a cross, let me do it. But not my will, but yours be done. Again and again, he comes back to this reality. He fully feels the anxiety of the wrath that's coming, but he keeps saying, I'm going to do this. This is the beautiful thing of Easter, that Jesus drinks the cup for us. Although, it's also interesting to think about the reality that there is not one cup in this story, but there are two. See, Jesus sits down at the Passover meal. The Passover meal was the celebration of the Israelites being brought out of captivity. And if you remember the story, the angel of the Lord comes over, and if there's blood from a sheep on the doorpost, it leaves that house alone. But if there's not, the firstborn are all slain. And so Jesus looks as he goes through this ceremony, and when they get to the bread, he says, this is my body broken for you. And when he gets to the third cup, the text is pretty specific. The cup after supper. The third cup is the cup of judgment. And he pours it out. And he gives it to them. And he's saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink you all of it. There are two cups. Even in his conversation with John and James, he says, you cannot drink of the cup I have to drink of, but you will drink of my cup. You see what Jesus does? He trades cups with us. He drinks the cup of wrath that we deserve, and he offers us his cup, the cup of relationship, the cup of new covenant. He swaps us cups. That is the beauty of this story. And so that evening, the disciples don't get it. They're not understanding. They're not going to understand until Easter and beyond as things are sort of unveiled to them. But tonight we have a different understanding of how these cups switch. And we understand that for Jesus to offer us the cup of the covenant, he has to fully drink of the cup of wrath, including the anxiety leading up to it. And so, in a beautiful moment, Jesus trades us cups. And so tonight, we are going to partake in communion because we're going to remember all that Jesus has done for us, that he did trade us cups, that he offers us new life, that he offers us his relationship with the Father as sons and daughters. And that it came at a great cost as he went to the cross and drank of the cup of wrath for us. And so I thought, since this was such an intimate meal with Jesus and his followers, that we might do communion a little differently tonight and do it a little more intimately. To that effect, what I'd like to do is ask everyone, if they're willing, to come forward. Come on. And let's just surround the table. Kind of like we're all at one meal together. If you're able, come forward. If you need to, you can sit in the front pew. We'll just kind of make the circle big enough to include whoever we need to. Come on around. Keep coming around. I won't bite.
You're not rich.
And now?
Come on around. So on that special night, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks and blessed it, he broke it, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body broken for you." In the same manner, after supper, he took the cup, lifted it up, gave thanks, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Drink you all of it." He knows, as he's looking around to them, of the cup of wrath that he's going to have to partake. He knows that they're all going to abandon him that night. And still he shares this love with them, shares this moment with them. No matter what we have done, no matter where we have been, that is the same sort of welcome that Christ gives to us. Let us pray. Lord, we gather around the table, like that original small group of followers. As we partake, pour out your Holy Spirit on these elements of bread and juice and on us, that we may hear, maybe even for the first time, trade our lives for yours and enter into your loving relationship with the Father. Amen. If everyone could just hold the element. Partake together. Go ahead and just set it back down. Body of Christ, take and eat. Blood of Christ, shed for you. Let us pray. Lord, we have gathered around the table like that original small group of followers. Like them, we need you to take our cup. Like them, we need your cup. But unlike them, we know how the story goes. We know of your death remembered tomorrow, but we also know of your resurrection and victory that we celebrate on Easter morning. May we go through this holy week with you on our minds. Amen. Thank you all. You can put your cups back. As you head back to your seats, please pass the peace of Christ to one another.